Scripture reading this morning will be Romans 12, 9 through 21, and then also Proverbs 19, 8 through 12. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Starting in Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then to Proverbs 19, starting in verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. This ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you so much for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, we recognize as we gather together this morning that we are sinners. Lord, we just thank you so much for the forgiveness that you have given us. We thank you for Christ. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that you would protect everyone from my sin and my error. That your truth would shine forth, that you would feed your sheep. We thank you so much for loving us and blessing us abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a very simple verse, Romans 6:23, that I read earlier. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a very simple verse. But everything about this verse, the world argues against. The world would like to argue, what is sin? And what's sin for you? Well, that's not sin for me. The world argues that sin does not bring death. No, sin brings enjoyment. The world wants to argue, who needs Christ? Christ is not a savior. And this is not a new argument. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 3. Listen to the argument going on here in the garden. Starting in verse 1 of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die.'" And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You see, and the same argument continues on today. Here we see the serpent arguing against the truth of sin bringing death. Not only that, but going on to say, oh no, not only does it not bring death, but it's good for you. It will open your eyes. You'll be like God. Now these arguments are all around us. They continue. They are so much a part of our culture that we don't even understand where all we're getting it from. But understand, be warned. This argument, this attack is raging. So understand, we are sinners. And sin brings death. This is so important. Over and over, we can be easily led astray. Stay focused. Cling to the Lord. This morning, we will be looking at some of the blessings of obedience. We will look at some of the consequences of sin. We will see loving and forgiving sinners. And we will see some of the blessings of good kings. But as I prepared for this message and studied through these verses just over and over, I'm reminded of how much we need God's Word. We need to be reminded of the truth. The lies are out there, and we're hearing them. But we need to hear the truth of God. We need to hear the truth of our sin and our Savior. So may we cling to Him. And may we not forget, sin brings death. Sin brings death. Do not be deceived. God is right. Man is wrong. We must love what God loves and hate what God hates. So let's begin here in verse 8 of chapter 19. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. So here we see some of the blessings of wisdom. Wisdom is of great value. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." Do you see the great value of wisdom? And we see here that this great value of wisdom is not only beneficial for this physical life, but for the spiritual as well. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. There is nothing better for the soul of man than to get the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God benefits our soul like nothing else. So here in this proverb, we're encouraged to seek after that which is of great value. Remember, it is a far greater value than all desirable things. They can't compare with wisdom. And yet, as we live our lives and we make decisions and we have our priorities, what value do we place on wisdom? Consider if someone were to examine your life, what would they find? What would they say about you? Would they say, "This is a man on a mission. He is seeking day after day to grow in the wisdom of the Lord"? Or would they say, "This man does seek for wisdom, but usually not until everything else is done first. Once all the work is done, if there's still time in the day, then he'll seek for wisdom." You see, we have many important responsibilities in life that we have to sort through in order to avoid getting out of balance. The problem is that all too often, as we prioritize things in our life, we tend to put all the physical things first, and the spiritual follow behind if there's time. And the outcome, of course, is not good. The outcome is that our bodies are well cared for. We're well fed. You know, I don't miss a meal. And when I'm dirty, I take a shower. But what about our soul? We must not neglect our souls. So here we are encouraged to press on, to continue seeking the wisdom of God, which our soul so much needs. So we are here encouraged to keep seeking wisdom. Then in the second half of the verse, we see that he who keeps understanding will find good. He who keeps understanding. Those who not only seek for wisdom, pressing on to know the Lord, but who take it to heart, who live out what they've been taught. Those who don't just read their Bible to check it off their list, but who read the Word of God and hold on to it and apply it to their life. It is they who will find good. They will enjoy the good fruit that it brings. I want you to listen to just a few of the first verses of Psalm 119. Listen, this is not someone just going through the motions. This isn't someone just trying to acquire information as if they just needed to pass an exam or something. But this is one who is truly seeking the Lord, seeking God's wisdom, and desiring to be changed by it, that they might live a holy life before the Lord. Here's the first few verses of Psalm 119. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Thou hast ordained thy precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes." Listen, those who seek the wisdom of God, who retain the good lessons that they learn, and thus order their life accordingly, they will find great benefits, great blessings, and comfort in it, both now and forever. So as we see in this verse, the great value of wisdom, and how those who seek it benefit greatly. May we be encouraged all the more to keep seeking the Lord, keep following Him, keep obeying Him. You know, to some who are lost, it may appear that following Christ is just a bunch of rules and restrictions. I mean, it just takes all the joy out of life. You know, there's no real benefit. But the reality of following Christ and submitting to His will and obeying His commands is that this is the path of blessings, of joy, peace, of life. Living life God's way is good for us in every way. Living life God's way is good for us in every way. You see, it's actually those who live by the lusts of their flesh who bring so much pain and agony upon themselves. But we'll look at that more in the next verse. So live for the Lord. Keep seeking Him and His wisdom, and enjoy the good fruit that it brings. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Just as we were reminded in verse 8 of the blessings that come with living life God's way, so here we see some of the curses that come with living a life of sin. Instead of seeking wisdom and reaping the benefits of living life for the Lord, the sinner lives how he pleases, and he suffers greatly. Now, the sin specifically mentioned here in this verse is the sin of lying, bearing false witness. Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen this instruction here in Proverbs, and it won't be the last either. This is very important. We're warned many times in Scripture to be honest. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Certainly, bearing false witness is a sin that causes great harm upon others. What a wicked thing to speak falsely about someone else, causing them to be unjustly persecuted. Even at times, causing an unjust death. But the point here is not the harm that comes upon those who were reported of falsely, but the harm that comes on those who lie, the harm that comes on those who bear false witness. And we see the main question that is answered here, which is a common question among sinners, and that is, can I get away with my sin? Can I get away with it? I mean, can I sin and escape without the punishment or the consequences? Can I do that? That's the question that we see answered here. And the answer is no. No. You will not escape judgment. You will not escape punishment for your sin. You will be caught. You will be found out. And you will be punished. God sees. God knows. There's no escaping. Again, the world wants to deceive you. The world wants to tell you, if you do it like this, no one will know. It's a lie. God knows. you will suffer for your sin. So, sinful man, living not by the wisdom of God, but living by man's wisdom, brings all kinds of trouble upon his own head. Proverbs 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul." You see, the sinner who lives life his own way, who lies, who bears false witness, he is his own worst enemy. He destroys himself with his mouth. And we see here that he can't escape the punishment and the destruction that comes upon him for living life his way. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Verse 10. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Here we see two things that are not fitting, although they sometimes occur for a moment. Now, in the last two verses, we saw examples of things that are fitting, things that do go together. You see, it is right and fitting that those who follow Christ, who daily seek His wisdom, should enjoy the fruits of obedience. And then in verse 9, in a similar way, it is only right and fitting that those who lie, who bear false witness, should suffer the punishment of their sin. These things go together: punishment with sin, blessings with obedience. But here in verse 10, we see two examples of things that do not go together. They are not fitting. First, luxury is not fitting for a fool. A fool who has rejected God, who goes his own way. A fool who has said in his heart, "There is no God." He doesn't listen to correction. He's constantly doing his own thing, not submitting to the Lord. It is not fitting for him to have luxury, for him to have the comforts of an easy life, delighting in pleasure. It would be more fitting for the fool to have poverty and hardships, suffering the consequences of his foolish lifestyle. So it doesn't make any sense that a fool would be rewarded for his foolishness. You see, foolishness tends to separate a man from good things. Whatever it is, whether it's money, whether it's other resources, foolishness tends to separate from those things. You see, all these resources, if handled foolishly, they disappear. They get squandered. And so luxury is not fitting for a fool. Secondly, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Now I want to clarify here, in the context of this verse, that this slave here is not a good slave. This is not a faithful servant, but rather the opposite. This is speaking more of a slave who is irresponsible and lazy, who constantly needs to be told what to do and then checked up on to make sure they're doing it. So for that slave to rule over princes, for that slave to be given power and authority, put in charge of telling others what to do, this is completely absurd. It is not fitting for an unfaithful servant even to have charge over themselves, much less others. But here we see the great extent, it is certainly not fitting for the slave to rule over princes. Princes, one who is far more qualified and capable, who can rule much better than the servant. This is not fitting. You see, when you misbehave, when you act irresponsible, again, you tend to have less freedoms. They tend to be taken away from you. You're not put in charge of more. What little you have been put in charge of will be taken away from you. So the lousy slave, for him to be given authority over princes, is absolutely not fitting. Now it's easy for us to read this and see, yeah, that doesn't go together at all. For a slave to rule over a prince, for a fool to have luxury. But what is the point? I mean, why do we need to hear this? I believe the point of this verse is to show us how glorious it is for the righteous to be rewarded and the wicked to be punished. You see, God has called us to do what is right. And the fruit and rewards that come from obedience is good. We're blessed. And God also causes ill effects to follow doing what we shouldn't. So here in this verse, we are reminded of the consequences that follow our actions. We need reminded that if we are foolish, we should expect to suffer for our foolishness. And we will not have luxuries or cause for delight, but rather the sorrows and pains that is fitting for foolishness. And we need reminded as well, if we're irresponsible, lazy servants, don't be absurd and think that someday things are going to get turned around and you're going to be the one telling others what to do. You're going to be in charge. You won't. This isn't fitting. Again, man's wisdom is a lie. Sin does not lead to happiness. Sin leads to death. Man's wisdom is a lie. It will never accomplish what it promises, and it will always disappoint. But God's wisdom is true. Obeying Him brings blessings. So we see here what is fitting and what is not. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Here we see how a prudent, discerning man conducts himself in times of aggravation and irritation. First, we see that a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. He has self-control, even in circumstances that provoke anger. He does not allow his emotions the freedom to say and do things that he would regret. He has control over his anger. Notice it doesn't say that he will never be angry, for all of us will be angry at times. But it says here he is slow to anger. He's not quickly or easily upset. He lets much just roll off his back. He's a peacemaker. He's not looking for a conflict. He assumes love, meaning that when he interprets other words or actions towards himself, he assumes that their intentions were good and loving. He does not always assume that they meant it for evil against him. And so he is slow to anger. But he's not only slow to anger. In the second half, we see that it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Now, this overlooking does not mean that he doesn't notice, that he didn't know. But when he did notice, he's not making a big deal of it. A wise man is more bothered by his own sins than the sins of others around him. Even when their sinning is directly at him, he has the love and the self-control to overlook a transgression. A wise man is not only slow to anger, but he's quick to forgive. He shows grace. He knows that we're all in different places of sanctification. And so he shows grace. He's merciful and forgiving. Yes, certainly there are times when someone needs to be confronted concerning sin or other issues. But this verse is really speaking towards bearing with one another in love and not letting all the little issues drive wedges between us, but loving others despite their sin. Now, this is certainly easier said than done, because we all tend to see our brother's sins more clearly than our own. But one thing that always helps is to go back to Christ. Think of Christ. Christ, who is perfect. Does he bear with us? Oh, does he bear with us? Does he forgive us? Absolutely. He who is sinless shows mercy to wretched sinners. And so we of all people, we who have been forgiven much, should we not forgive those who sin against us? For the sake of our brothers and sisters, may God work this into us, that we would not be easily offended by each other, and that we would be quick to forgive those who sin against us. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Verse 12. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Here we see some of the effects that a king has on his people. And both of these effects are good. First, we see here that the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. You know, a lion is a very powerful animal, very powerful and strong. And he is feared greatly, and for good reason. A lion can do a lot of harm if he attacks. And so the sound of a roaring lion is something that brings fear. I remember when I was a kid and we went to the zoo, and one time we just happened to be going by the zebra exhibit. And I don't know where the zebra exhibit was from the lion cages, but we could hear the roar of a lion. And those zebras could hear the roar of a lion. And those zebras were running all around frantically looking for a place to get away. You see, the roar of a lion is a fearful thing. So also is a king's wrath. It is to be feared. Romans 13:3-4. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. You see, God made lions, powerful, sharp teeth, sharp claws, and we fear them. And God has given kings and rulers the power of the sword, that we should fear them. And this is a healthy fear, a healthy fear of the harm that they can do to us, so that we might do what is right and avoid doing evil. So the king's wrath is to be feared. And it is good and right for a king to exercise his wrath upon the one who practices evil. When the king rules righteously, it has a great effect on the people, because they fear the wrath of the king, and their evil is restrained. Second half of the verse, but his favor is like the dew on the grass. Rulers are not just here to punish evildoers and restrain evil in the land, but to reward and give praise to those who do right. His favor is like the dew on the grass. It's a blessing. It's a help. Dew is good for the health of the plants. So the favor of the king is a blessing. It is good for the people. Kings and rulers have authority and responsibility to both punish the wicked and show favor to the righteous. And both are good and appropriate and fitting. And we as citizens should praise God when we have kings and rulers who are ruling righteously, who are showing their wrath upon those who practice evil, and who are rewarding and praising those who do what is right. And certainly, we who are citizens of heaven should praise God all the more for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules righteously. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. So in conclusion, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The world is full of lies, teaching you that what is wrong is right, that what is wrong brings blessing. It's enjoyable. It's a lie. Don't be deceived. We must seek the Lord. Seek Christ. Keep following Him. Keep seeking His wisdom day after day. Don't let your body flourish while your soul withers away. Seek for that which is nourishment for your soul. We must seek to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Don't be deceived. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life is in the Lord. Life is in Christ. Seek Him. Don't look for it other places. You'll only be disappointed. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of what is fitting. Lord, thank you for the reminder that sin does not bring joy and happiness. but sin brings death. And thank you so much that we can be reminded of our sin, and that we can be reminded that our life is in Christ. Our life is in Christ. Oh Lord, may we seek you more and more. Lord, may you work in our lives. Lord, help us to prioritize appropriately. Lord, that we would be feeding on your word, that we would grow in the wisdom of God, that we would be more like Christ, that we would honor you, that we would live for you. Lord, we thank you for meeting all our physical needs. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you give us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us not to be distracted, not to chase after the things of this earth, but to seek the things above where Christ is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.